although it may be a big space, they feel very much discomfort. So I welcome all of you who are here for this program. We will celebrate a little bit about Lord Ram and speak about Lord Ram, but there's one person whom I want to welcome especially. It is our Malati, who is with us. She has returned from the kingdom of fire. She almost burned in the kitchen, and a very complicated and not easy medical procedure needed to be done. This is, I understand, the first time where you are able to come to the temple. So welcome, welcome. You are our hero. Very much, yes. Your sacrifice to Lord Jagannath will, I think it has been noted by the Lord and by the devotees. Thank you, thank you. Good. Today's kirtan event is a special one in that it is connected with Lord Rama. Lord Rama is famous not only in Indian culture, in Indonesian culture. You will find in the King's Palace many pictures about Lord Ram's pastimes and adventures. Lord Rama is a very, very special manifestation of Lord Krishna. And today you can look on the altar. Lord Jagannath has taken on the color of Lord Ram, and he is together with his celebrated bow, with which he upholds Dharma. So Lord Rama is that manifestation of the Lord who is taking care of the universal law of Dharma. Mm. I want to speak a few words in glorification of Lord Rama before I do my kirtan. So please, we can just start. Repeat after me. Om. Om Namo Bhagavate Ramachandraya. 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 Once the great saint Narada Muni came to the ashram of Valmiki. Valmiki is also a well-known ancient saint, and Valmiki had a question. He said, "Oh Narada, is there anyone present at this time who is an incarnation of God, who wanders over the planet, who is always telling the truth, who is forgiving everyone and anyone, even their grievous mistake, who sees only the good. And he said 24 such conditions. He said, is there anyone on the planet right now? Because I wish to take shelter under that Lord who incorporates all good characteristics. Narada Muni went into meditation, and when he came out of his meditation, he said, yes, Lord Rama is presently incarnated, and he is the upholder of Dharma. He is righteous, he is truthful, he is forgiving, and more than anything, he is willing to give shelter to those who have no other shelters, and everyone else. So Valmiki wanted to see this personality, and Narada, the great saint, was able to open his spiritual vision so that Valmiki could see Lord Rama in front of him and his beautiful pastimes. And he wrote them all down as the pastimes of Lord Rama happened. At that time, there was no WhatsApp messages, nor was there any TV or radio emission. There was just an opened spiritual vision, which was not dependent on these things. And Valmiki could see before his very eyes the beautiful pastimes of Lord Ram. And he described them. And there was one pastime which I wish to describe to you today. You all, who knows of you the pastimes of Lord Ram? Can you please have a show hand, a short show of hands? Yes, most of you. But for those of you who don't know, very briefly, he appeared many millenniums back, and on the day when he was to be coronated as the king of the world, his father banished him for 13 long years to the forest. There was a reason behind it, but to make things short, it was not a good reason. It was a political maneuver. And Rama went for 13 years into exile, and during that time he had a few confrontations with the evil powers, the powers of darkness. These were the Rakshasas, who were led by one very powerful individual. His name is Ravana. Ravana was a very strong leader of the dark forces. It is described he was thinking with 10 heads. His name means he who makes the whole universe cry. To just give you a little peek into Ravana's character, which is exactly the opposite of Ram's, I want to give you a snippet of a discussion. Ravana asked his ministers, so is everyone paying their taxes? And the minister said, yes, except for the saintly persons. They live in the forest and they have nothing to give taxes from. But they must pay taxes to me, said Ravana. So the ministers said, well, we could do one thing. We could take their blood And then you could drink the blood every day. And Ravana said, a very intelligent solution. And he sent his people to harass even the saintly people. He was really, I mean, the modern presidents, who we have a few shady individuals on the planets who have taken political power into their hands, but no one is as bad as Ravana. Ravana was supremely bad. So this Ravana kidnapped the wife of Lord Ram, the name Sita Devi, and brought her into, he wanted to have her as the first lady of his harem, because Ravana had violated by force the chastity of so many ladies, there was a curse upon him that if he would ever force himself upon an unwilling lady, his head would burst into a thousand pieces and he would die. So he couldn't take Sita by force, but he kept her a prisoner for 1 year. And he said, at the end of this year, if you don't surrender to me voluntarily, I will have you cut up by my cooks and I will eat you. He was a man-eater, really the lord of darkness, you could say. So when Ram found out that it was Ravan who had kidnapped Sita, he waged a war against the Rakshasa race, and he overcame Ravan and installed Dharma again. This is in brief the story of the Ramayana, but I want to talk about something very specific. So when Rama came with his army of Vanaras at the banks of the ocean, he didn't know how to cross the ocean. But somehow or other, Hanuman, who was leading the forces of Ram, had an idea. He took a stone and he painted the name of Rama on it. It looked like this, but only the stones were proportionally bigger. This is a downsized model. And when he put the stones into the ocean, those who had no Rama written on them sank in the ocean, but the others floated on the ocean. I am happy to report to you that when I visited Dvaraka, I saw a well, and in the well there was a stone like this, which was floating. It was not porous, it was a massive stone, and it had the name Ram on it. And it was therefore not sinking, because even the planets which float in the universe are not falling down, because by the Lord's energy they are kept in space and they are floating. So what is the problem for Ram to make a few stones float? No problem. Those of you who afterwards you can come and see these Rama stones, I don't know, maybe they are also floating. have you tried this? I can imagine they will float, because these are porous stones. they have air bubbles inside, but the original Ram bridge is made of these Rama stones, you could say. So when Ram wanted to when the bridge was ready, a huge colossal bridge which connected the southern tip of India with the kingdom of the Rakshasas, which was on the island of Lanka or Ceylon. At that time, something important happened, which Virgo Krishna will help me with his mobile telephone. The brother of Ravana, the brother of the demon king, came and said he wanted to take shelter at Rama's lotus feet. He was going away from supporting his brother, but he wanted now to be on the side of Ram. Now, all the ministers of Ram who were with him said, he just wants to come close to you, and when he is a meter distance or 2 meter distance, he will jump up, take his knife and kill you. He should not be accepted. But Lord Ram said something which is the treasure for all his devotees. He said something in Sanskrit, I would say, Sakrit eva prapanoyas tavasmiti chayachate abayam savada tasmai dadam yetat vratam mama. Lord Ram said, I will not follow your advice to reject this person, because it is my vow that if only one seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and if he prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time onwards. So Lord Ram, in other words, gave unconditional acceptance to the persons who surrendered to him. And that is perhaps the most outstanding quality of Lord Ram. Now when Lord Ram, after he had spoken this verse, he said to everyone, I want to tell you a story which illustrates this point. If someone approaches me and asks for shelter, I must give it. It's just like a king. When someone comes and surrenders or is saying to the king, I wish to serve you, it's the king's duty, and he cannot reject such a person. I want to tell you a story. Once a man passed through a dense jungle. There were ferocious animals like tigers, and wolves, as this man walked, he heard the roar of a tiger, and the tiger had smelled him, had smelled human blood. He was coming closer, so this man ran on a tree or climbed a tree and stayed in the shelter of the tree. This tree was the tree which was owned by a monkey. A monkey lived there also on the tree. So when the tiger arrived at the foot of the tree, he began to speak. Hey, monkey, this human being has taken shelter on the tree, but don't you know that, oh yeah, this is a very good idea. You're opening a window, no? Kunya Bihari, I think you have also this access to the door. Yeah, please do open the window. As long as oxygen is still free, of course. The tiger who wanted to eat the human being said to the monkey, "Hey monkey, this human being who is now on your tree is your natural enemy. You know, humans always are unkind to monkeys. They chase monkeys when the monkeys are on the ground. The human beings run after them because the monkeys disturb them. The humans burn trees or cut trees and take their fruits away. So a human is a natural enemy of a monkey. Be intelligent, push him down. Then I will eat this human being and I leave you in peace." But the monkey said, "I don't think it's right. This human being is highly distressed and has taken shelter in my tree. How can I not give him shelter?" The tiger was very hungry and he had smelled human blood. So he thought for a moment and then had an idea. So he said, "Okay, my dear human being, you are following the conversation. I request you to push down the monkey, because then I will eat the monkey, then my stomach is full, and I will not be interested to eat you any longer." So the human being thought twice, thought, "Good idea, if I can save my life by sacrificing the monkey, fine." So he went to the monkey and gave him a strong push and the monkey fell down. So the tigers saw the monkeys, "I can now jump on you and kill you, but I won't do it because I'm not like that rascal human being up there. I love you, you are my friend, I let you go. Get back on your tree." The monkey jumped on the tree, and when he was up on the tree, the tiger said, "Have you seen what this human being is able to do? You have not sacrificed him, but he has sacrificed you. Push him down." Political arrangements. So the monkey said, "I personally don't think that anyone should give up his own dharma, even if another person violates his dharma. Yes, the human beings have become influenced by selfishness and so on, and have given up their dharma. And yes, I'm an animal, I have no dharma, only to eat. But still, I have some sense of what is right and what is wrong. Although the human has forgotten, I remember. And if I go against my own dharma, I break my own heart. I will not do this." "So," said Ramachandra, "you understand the point? An ideal person will always keep his dharma. And one of the points of his dharma is, when anyone comes for you in a distressed mood and requires your assistance and help, then it is your dharma to give that assistance and help." Beautiful and clear story, no? You can follow? You also follow the intelligence of the tiger? yes. So Lord Ramachandra gave this story, and with this story he gave away what was driving him. He explained that yes, when anyone comes to me, even they may be unqualified or qualified, and surrenders to me, I will give them shelter. I would love you to chant this Sanskrit shloka with me because it's so beautiful. Sakriteva prapanoyas, Sakriteva prapanoyas, Tavasmiti chayachate,
Tavasmiti chayachate,
Abhayam savada tasmai, Dadam yetat vratam mama, mama. Once again, the translation for all of us to relish it. It is my vow, says Lord Rama. My vow, I have given this unbreakable promise that if one only once, one time, seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I'm yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. There is a modern example where the Lord showed this. There is a great devotee called Kabir. Who of you has heard the name Kabir? Yes. He's famous. He was a weaver, ein Weber. And he gave a beautiful analogy. He said, normal people weave or stitch their life together. You know, the life is like a cloth. And they are engaged in making the cloth of their life by moving the thread in this way and moving it from down to up, from left to right, from down to up, and then they weave the story of their lives. But I am different. I am the weaver of your name. My life, man, is always, whatever I do, it is accompanied with the name Ram. No? And so I'm weaving my life with the holy name and with the consciousness of you. I make decisions based on your benefit, on your service, and I lead my life for your pleasure. I'm the weaver of your name only. So once the king of his name was Shikanda Lodi, he had heard about Kabir. He had also heard that Kabir had been able to perform miracles because he was a great saint. And he asked Kabir to come to the court, to the royal court. And as Kabir was entering the hall where the throne was standing, one minister of the king said, you have to bow down to the king. But Kabir did not bow down. He moved forwards and the king was upset and said, why don't you show me your respect? And Kabir said, I only know of one king. He is known to the Hindus as Bhagavan, and he is known to the Muslims as Allah. That Lord who is known as Bhagavan or Ram is known as Allah. That is same person is my Lord. I have no other king, and he is the one who gives shelter to everyone. So the king could not argue against this point. But then his ministers complained about Kabir. Kabir says the Hindu god is the same as the Muslim god. That is a kafir, that is a sinner. You know, he's a heretic. And Shikanda Lodi, although he understood that Kabir was right, but there was so much pressure, both from the Muslim priests and from the Hindu priests, that he said, "Okay, we have to kill this Kabir." So they put iron chains around him, and they threw him into the river. But Kabir was just chanting Ram, 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 and the waves of the river carried him back to the shore, and also broke the iron chains. Yes. The king said, he's just a magician. What is the magician? The Ehrlich brothers, you know. Or what magicians do we have today? Jayatam. Huh? He is only a magician. He had his people throw Kabir into flames, but Kabir's body began to shine like molten gold. Then, as a last attempt to take the life of Kabir, they made an elephant crazy, you know, gave him alcohol to drink, and then the mahout, the elephant driver, drove him, gave pain to him behind the ear, goaded him on. This elephant had killed many prisoners in the past, so he stormed towards Kabir, who was just chanting Ram, Ram, Ram. And as he came close to Kabir, he stopped. He could not continue going towards Kabir and trample him to death. And after he had waited for a little bit, he became afraid. He turned around and ran away. And Kabir said, "Yes, Lord Rama is in the heart of the elephant. He's in the heart of the king, and he's in the heart of me. So he has arranged that the elephant cannot trample me." The king was so mortified. He felt so bad that he had dared to attack a saint, that he came down from his throne and begged forgiveness and said, I want to give you something. Can I give you a part of a country or a village at least where the taxes go to you?" But Kabir declined. He said, "No, I don't need anything. I only need the shelter of my Lord, the shelter of Lord Ram." So this is a modern example, my dear everyone, how someone who takes shelter and seriously says, "My dear Lord, from this day I'm yours," how he is protected. Now I'm thinking of our devotee, Malati. Malati was cooking in our small, small, small kitchen. You can see the kitchen. It is the same kitchen which is there. The smallest kitchen in the universe, which cooks huge amounts of food, which we use to distribute in our food for life for the poor people here in Berlin, or we cook our festivals. And Malati's dress caught fire because it's so small, the kitchen, and she may not have noticed it, and the fire burned her back really badly. I mean, really badly. She needed to be brought to the emergency, and it was a long procedure before she can be there. We may ask, did the Lord protect her at that time? Did he really, was he there for Malati? Malati cooked for him? But did Lord Jagannath take care of her? You must know that the protection of the Lord is mostly the protection of the consciousness. We all come into this world and we are not without, it's not the first time we have come here. We all bring with us the karma from our previous lifetimes. And sometimes, and we have to experience the reactions from this karma in this life. So sometimes for a devotee, the Lord makes it that he puts all the karma which is still there and which would force the devotee to take birth after birth in the world so that he could exhaust this karma. Sometimes the Lord puts it all into some a very heavy experience, an accident, a sudden divorce and a marriage, a deportation from Germany and so on. I'm putting some heavy words now out. These are the results of previous karma, but if the devotee has surrendered to the Lord, his consciousness remains protected. And it is this consciousness which is our most important property. When we come all to the threshold of death and go into the kingdom and leave this life and go into the next, then all what counts is not your money. You will leave the money behind. Not your education and jobs. You will leave that behind. Not even your friends. You will leave your friends behind. All what counts is your consciousness. Are you free from envy? Have you the ability to forgive? Are you surrendering your life to the Lord? It's that which counts. What needs to be protected. That's your most valuable asset, your most valuable treasure, the amount of consciousness which you can cultivate in this life. Now, I've come to the end. I want to do what is in the Rama Bridge. It really looks so cute, please. when you... And the Ram is so nicely painted. Jayatam, have you done or who has done?
Nisha.
Nisha.
What? Nisha.
Bhavini?
No, Nisha Mataji. Nisha. Oh, Nisha, there in the machine.
Nisha.
Nisha stand.
Can you stand?
Bhavini has Jagannath Angamar and Nisha has Arthasekha.
Yeah, sehr schön. Nisha, these are really, they look like from Lord Rama's bridge, you know. I think this is a stone, it is millions of gold coins valuable, you know. So, just like the stones were floating by the power of Lord Ram's name, our consciousness similarly can be elevated by the chanting of the Lord's name. And I wish to now invite you for a kirtan. We will remain sitting. Our Kunja Bihari will from time to time take care of good oxygen. He's our oxygen man today. There is Superman and there is Oxygen Man. And Oxygen Man is sometimes more important. So we will chant, and at the same time Bhavasindhu will do the Artik. We will have an Artik. Once again, please appreciate the altar today, Lord Jagannath is all, is today Lord Ramachandra. Isn't it, Bhamini? This is the idea. His brother is Lakshman. He also has a bow. And in between is Mother Sita, no? Yes, this is very beautiful. It has been made. Once there was a great devotee, Tulsi, who had heard that the Lord in Kali Yuga is in Jagannath Puri in the temple. So he came and he saw, oh no, there's Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. I came for Lord Rama. I'm a devotee of Rama. There's no Rama on the altar. And with tears in his eyes, without even eating his dinner, he left the temple and fell into a confused sleep 7 kilometers away in a village called Malikapura. While this was going on, Subhadra turned to Jagannath and said, "Today you are a very bad host. You have promised that everyone who comes to your temple gets prasadam, your divine food remnants. But Tulsi had to leave hungry. I'm very disappointed in you." So Lord Jagannath took this to heart. And in the night, Tulsi was awoken by a beautiful, splendorous boy. He was full of light, and he carried a huge plate with food. The plate was made out of pure gold. And he said, "Lord Jagannath sends me. You are hungry. You have to eat this. It's his own plate. Bring it back tomorrow to the temple." So Tulsi was very hungry. He had slept, but he could not sleep so well because of the hunger. Now he had a plate. And he heard, this was a golden plate. It was the plate of the Lord. So he took the little bowls, put the food on some banana leaves, and ate it all up, and then slept again. And in the morning he felt, well, these golden plates, I have to bring them back. So he went back to the temple to bring the plates back. But when he entered the temple, he saw on the altar not black-faced Jagannath. He saw no one else than Lord Ram with his bow like this. And he understood that he needed to look twice. Sometimes when you look first, you can't recognize the Supreme Lord in your life. You have to sometimes look twice, or if you are in Berlin, perhaps three times. So let us sing a little bit. And Baba Sindhu is there. Here is this floating stone. Thank you.